to the very first chapter of Exodus. A little bit of a lengthy reading here, or a couple of different readings to bring out the point that I'm after here this morning, or I think God has led me to. If you look at, we kind of know the end of the book of Genesis ends with Joseph making things right with his brother, and the last verses of the words of Genesis are that he has passed away, Joseph has passed away. And so, we go then to Exodus, and it goes right into the first verses that these are the names of the people that are in Egypt. Remember, without going into a lengthy history, we do have this Joseph being sold into Egypt, and he ends up rescuing or saving his whole family. And so these people that are listed here in chapter 1 of Exodus are those people. It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. And so we kind of know some of that history without getting too detailed. But here is the list of the names. And what happens here then in Exodus is the continuation. It's almost like it's, my Bible says the second book of Moses called Exodus. And so, I don't know if that's how yours is named on the top of this beginning of introduction for Exodus. But anyway, it's kind of a continuation of Genesis. But if you go into verse 7, you will notice it says, the children of Israel, those people that are listed there, there's a lot of people listed there, which it doesn't give every name, but it gives the fathers of those people. But lots of people. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. So this is now the children of Israel in a foreign land in Egypt. And God blesses them mightily, multiplies them. Abundance increases. He increased them abundantly and multiplied them. And they were mighty. And the land was full of them. And there was a concern in that land in Egypt as the chapter goes on. He says in verse 8, now there rose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, that's the king said unto his own Egyptian people, he says, behold, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, are more and mightier than we. And so, when you think of the mightiness of Egypt, God had blessed these children of Israel so much that they were more mighty than the original inhabitants of the land, or the natives. They are mightier than we, and so this is a concern. And we know this story, it says in verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, and this was the result of their being scared of the mightiness of the children of Israel. He says, the king says, therefore, they did set over them taskmasters, that's in plural, not a taskmaster like as in one president, but taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh's treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. And so this was their assignment. So when the Egyptians were scared of the mightiness of the Israelites, he put them to build them two cities. The king had them build two cities. But the more they afflicted them, here's again the blessing of the Lord, But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. In other words, they were troubled, or they were actually basically just scared. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, and that simply is a with speed, or no holding back, or no laziness, or no sluggards. It was with rigor. And it goes on also to control this people group here that was too mighty, or made them fear. The king, in verse 15, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sapphira, and the other one was Pua. And he said, "Why do you, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, see them, and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and not as the king, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, here's a pretty good story. The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and they are delivered before or ere the midwives come in unto them. They don't have a chance to kill them. Their babies are already delivered. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." So then we go into verse chapter 2, which continues the story that is kind of a children's story, but I do want to bring out this man Moses this morning. There went a man in verse chapter 2. There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, and so now we're talking about Moses, Moses' sister, stood afar off to watch what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, she saw Moses, and behold, Moses wept. And Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on Moses and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children. And then, out of nowhere, comes Moses' sister. And Moses' sister says to Pharaoh's daughter, I'm kind of making this my own version here, but then his sister, Moses' sister, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. So all of a sudden, Moses is back in his mother's arms again. And Pharaoh's daughter, in verse 9, said unto Moses' mother, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and Moses grew. And Moses' mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, And she called his name Moses and said, because I have drawn him out of the water. The thing that I'd like to underline here in these verses is verse 10, it says that Moses became her son. Now let's look at a little bit. I won't read more. We know a little bit more of the story as you go to chapter 4 and 5, and the hardship of the children of Israel was tremendous in slavery and punishment. And it talks about these taskmasters being over them and whips, and you can just imagine the scene or whatever. It was a very difficult scene for the children of Israel. And then turn with me to Acts chapter 7. I would like to title this sermon, maybe you know where I'm going already, but possibly not. I'd like to title the sermon, Moses Chooses to Follow God. If you go to Acts chapter 7, we have Stephen here now testifying to his accusers about the history of the Jewish people. And in that history, of course, you have to include the story of Moses. And so that's what chapter 7 is. Stephen is in front of the Sanhedrin, and he is, of course, we know the end of the chapter 7, that he's stoned and put to death. But in this testimony of Stephen trying to give to the Sanhedrin who he's preaching and who's he's promoting, this Jesus, he has to go down through and give the correct history. And to do some of the reason that couple times that's recorded of the history of the Jewish people is the fact that we're not talking about a foreign history. We're not these new Jesus followers are not preaching something that's not in their history. Rather, they use that history to bring to right to the point of to Jesus. And so, just to jump in here to chapter 7. Of Stephen's testimony, we go to verse 18. And back in Exodus chapter 1 verse 8, I read, now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And so, this is exactly where we are in this story. Verse 18 of chapter 7 says, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. And it goes on with the story that I just read in Exodus, which it seems to me is very interesting, how that Stephen just is so detailed, and how that history of those people was so important to track down and to follow, that it ends up leading to Christ, and that's what the message was from the children of Israel to us, as we are brought to Jesus through these people. But verse 18 says, to another king arose which knew not Joseph, the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. And I also read that you might throw out the children, the boy children, in Egypt, so they don't multiply. In verse 20, in which time Moses was born, and what I just read, and that he was nourished in his father's house for 3 months, and that's exactly how Exodus reads also. And verse 21, and when he was cast out, his Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son again. Same words, her own son. And Moses learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And we're not going to continue that. What I would like to continue with the thought is that Moses chooses to follow God. Somebody has said that the normal fleshly or human desire is two of the basic things that man desires, no matter where you are, is privilege and pleasure. Think about that. Privilege and pleasure. I think it's probably safe to agree with that. I think there's probably, you know, more. You could branch out more on that, but just to start out this Moses story, we have a Moses that was miraculously saved, but then when he became of age, he chose. And so on the one hand this morning, let's think a little bit about what he had as the daughter, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so that, let that go through your mind. I read a few things and tried to emphasize that he was a son. Another, he was a son of the Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, she took him as his son, as her son. And when I look at that, that puts him in the palace. That puts him in this verse 22 in Acts 7. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. And we still have Egyptian things around that have made history and are still things that are important to the people of the world. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Well, that's kind of interesting when you come to think that, I believe what it's saying here when the King James uses the words mighty in words and deeds, that this man could not only was he learned or had the head knowledge of the technical things, whatever you might say, of Egypt, or all the modern things of Egypt, all the conveniences of a modern world, the best there was, and the best there was. He was not only educated in that, or had that wisdom, he was also mighty in words and deeds. In other words, he could put it to practice. He was not just a person that was reserved or had it stored inside. He had the ability to convey what. And when you put that all together, to me, Moses was a man that could fulfill this saying that humanity, one of the desires of, two of the desires of humanity is privilege and pleasure. And when I look at this, what I just read here so far, this man with the position in the palace, maybe he could have been the next king. If he's mighty in words and deeds, he might have been right up there. We don't know that. But he had the ability to convey what he learned, and he had the position to have, and the privilege, like this note says, and the pleasure to do whatever he wanted in life. And so most of us here probably know a little bit about that story. Would you agree that with that? That Moses was a man that could have fulfilled the privilege and pleasures of life. Probably, I think we know a little bit about the story. To me, when I look at that, and I thought about that this week, is that just makes this title, or what I'm going to try to convey, even more real and more important. If a lot of us here, well, we have not been raised at the White House, and we don't have that. We have a lot of opportunities to provide privilege and pleasure, but we don't have this one Moses had. He's nourished 3 months by his parents, but then his Pharaoh's daughter takes him in, just like I read. And the thing that we have to remember, that the commitment to the palace, to continue his life as an Egyptian, that commitment to the palace would have been pleasurable. I mean, everybody here would agree. You have your own human nature, and you think of the president being able to call his delicacies in to eat, or his people around him that he wants to visit, and those that he don't want to visit with, he don't call in, and those kinds of things. That idea of having that privilege was Moses. So he had that, the palace would have been a pleasurable place to be in life. The one thing that we need to point out, of course, the one thing is that that would have been sinful. That's not what God had for him, and doesn't. I don't think that's what God has for us either. The other thing is that we'll read in Hebrews then that it was also just temporary. Now, we have younger people, not so many younger people here today, but I had another birthday this week, so we're going down the home stretch, if you will. Right, Walt? Home stretch is before us here. But nevertheless, all of us at all ages somehow have to keep in focus that everything that's in this earth is still temporary, whether you're at the 60-year-old level or at the teenage level, and you know, all in between there. So it wasn't that the idea of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter would have brought him much privilege and pleasure. It would have been sinful, but he realized that it was temporary. And so we go to Hebrews 11, to the verses that we are familiar with here. Verse 22. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, so now we have a person that's growing up. He's no longer a child, that he's under this foster care. He is now an adult. And it says here that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. And remember, the only reason I read some of Exodus and some of Stephen's testimony is to get the picture again of the seriousness of the affliction that the children of Israel were in. It was not a good time for the children of Israel. And so when it tells you here that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, can we grasp a little bit of that? When you think of the pleasures of the palace and the privileges and pleasures that he could have fulfilled in his life, does that make any difference to you and I when we read the fact that he chose rather to suffer the affliction with God's people? And so that's kind of the message this morning. Moses chooses to follow God, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Again, temporary. And so he, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. And so as we look back over that story in Exodus, we could read more of that chapter 5, it would probably make it more alive, chapter 4 and 5, when they are severely punished, and he chooses here to follow God. As we think of the natural sense of life, we know that hunger and slavery and maybe cold, I don't know, and maybe nakedness, and who knows what kind of slavery they were involved in. Probably the homes were not satisfactory. When you think of that whole slavery thing of the children of Israel, this picture, when he chooses this, rather to suffer this, that lifestyle than to enjoy the pleasures of the palace, to me it makes it real. It kind of forms a very strange contrast. You know, he has the ability to do a life the way he would want to in the flesh. So he is choosing away from the pleasures into poverty. He's choosing the all the all that Egypt has to offer to being despised and afflicted and so forth. Job is another person that you could read with the same results. Never looked back and never sinned and all the things that went on in his life. And Moses chose this affliction with God's people rather than enjoying the pleasures of Egypt for a season. Now, one thing as we think about this, I don't know for sure, but I do believe that it's that all of us would feel like we know that in a human's way, the pleasures of life that the world has to offer and the sin that the world has to offer is pleasurable. I mean, you look at people and they're laughing and dancing and getting drunk and burying their worries and concerns of life and having parties, and we should never downplay when we are talking to somebody of the pleasures of sin that's available. It is real. And when you look at Moses, he chose away from that. Although the carnal desire might have been there to indulge in those things, and it is for people that we talk to. And so when we say, well, yeah, I know that the party is fun, but you know, you get a headache the next morning anyway, and you're sick and you throw up anyway tomorrow morning, and those kinds of things, well, yes, it's very temporary. But never undermine the fact that the pleasures of this life and sin are actually pleasurable for a season. Yet, what I want to bring out here in closing is the fact that Moses chose. And so when you and I, for ourselves, but then for somebody that might be talking to, in helping them make a decision, they have to choose. Yes, sin is pleasurable, we understand. But when we help someone choose, and we have introduced them to this type of a person that has chosen this different than what he could have had, I think this is so important. And some of the reason that I'm bringing this this morning again is the fact that I talk to people that are church members, and they might be 40, 50, and not just any age, and they start talking. More people that I talk to are starting to talk about the idea that, well, when the preacher said we should come forward, I did, and then pretty soon somebody said something about a class of being baptized and so forth, and so I followed that too. And you know, I kind of did all the right things. And some of them talk about being pressured by the peer pressure and pressure by parents and pressure by customs and so forth. When I look at Moses, I think the important thing in this lesson that I'd like for us to understand that he chose to follow God. It was his choice. He had all the riches or the pleasures that you could imagine at his fingertips. Will you help people make a decision that is their decision? And it's not our responsibility. We say sometimes we water or somebody else plants and we water and so forth. It is not our responsibility or command to force people to the next step. And when that happens, and I guess even for younger people, then we come to a certain age and we realize, wow, this is really, I really just did it because everybody else was doing it. And so, may we help people choose like Moses did, and follow Christ because of their decision. Now, one thing that we have to understand here, all of us as, well, especially as adults, we have to answer the question, well, would you agree that Moses chose right? Kind of a simple, elementary kind of question. Would you agree he chose right? Well, sure he chose right. Moses chose. And so, when we think of that, what he had, as we understand the story, what he could have had, and what he chose to do, then we will help that person choose like Moses did. And if there's someone here this morning that is finding themselves in life without feeling like they have had a choice to follow Christ, that is a very sad place to be. Because I think God wants all of us to have made a choice that's like Moses' choice. Now, that doesn't say that we as parents don't ever say anything about God or do any training. That would be contradictory to the Word. But when it comes down to the real choice, is that their choice? And was it your choice? Help them make their own decision. Moses' story to me is very challenging. It's the challenges, just like Joshua said to his people that he was responsible to. He said, choose you today whom you will serve. In other words, that was another choice. Make a choice. And I'm not trying to make doubts in people that are safe and secure here this morning, but if you're troubled, there is a way to make your own decision today and not wait till you're 60 or 70. Remember, you cannot be grandfathered into the family of God. You need to make your own choice. And Joshua, again, reminds us of that. Today is the day of salvation. Make your own choice. And you either have to choose the different choices that Moses had here, choosing the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember, it's just for a season. Remember when you talk to someone that those pleasures are real, but they're just temporary. They're just for a season. And you can help people understand that by reading us, explaining a little bit of Moses' situation here. May we be able to do that this week. And also, if there's any questions in people's hearts and lives this morning, I'd be glad to talk to you. I know that there's people that I am very near and dear to that feel they have been forced into baptism and church membership and so forth. That hurts pretty much. And so I just want to leave it open to you. If that's you, please come to me and I will talk to you where we can take care of that. Just let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again this morning to be able to look at these stories of Moses and the way that he chose and all the things that he could have had. We pray, Lord, that we can make real choices like that. And even in the future, Lord, just give us boldness to choose for you, to live daily for you, go from here in victory and continue there. Just bless our group in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a song.